Good morning, my dear friends in Christ, once again. I told them in the parish yesterday, over in I told them that when I was in Ireland, whenever I had Mass on the Sunday, and I greeted the people, and they were silent, they didn't reply, they didn't answer me back, I used to stay and just watch them. Because I wanted to know that I was celebrating with people who were alive. So good morning, my dear friends in Christ.
Good morning.
I like that. The readings of today has a lot to do with me as a person. Why do I say they have a lot to do with me? Yesterday I reflected on the gospel, and this morning I looked at the psalm when I was having my prayers in the morning. Say, our eyes are unto you, O Lord, as we plead for your mercy. I think that is what I ask God for every day. Not just for me, but for my friends. Not just for my friends, but for members of my own family, my original family. I was not born as a Christian. I was not a Christian. I was not born into a Christian family. I was born into a Muslim family about 52 years ago. And then I grew up as a Muslim at the age of 20, at the age of 17, 18. Friends and an Irish nun I met began to give me the meaning of the word Christianity. They never spoke to me. They never asked me, oh, we want you to leave Islam, we want you to change, we want you to become a Christian. No. But their way of life became a challenge to my life. Good way of life. I was saying to Father this morning, one of the joys I had was that nun, when she was dying, many years after she brought the faith to me, I anointed her when she was dying, and I was beside her when she was dying. And I reminded her that I am the fruit of her faith, and I am the fruit of her work. And that is what the gospel is saying to us today. Jesus could do no miracles in his native place because the people had become too familiar with him. And what he was saying meant nothing to them. Who are you? And you know the carpenter? And you know the son of Joseph? We know you so well. Where did you get all of these from? And because of that, what was supposed to be to their own advantage became the destructive force for them. They wouldn't believe in him. You know, sometimes as Christians, every day my prayer is to ask God to keep converting me to be a Christian, to keep touching my life so that I can remain with him. I may have been a priest for several years. I told them yesterday, last Sunday, I was a priest for 21 years. I've been a priest for 21 years. But those 21 years, my dear friends, can only make meaning for you if you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that people will look at you and see the marks of Christ in your life, in your daily living. Not just that I come for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration, I come, I receive the Eucharist, and I go back home. No. It means that when I come, I am coming to have a special relationship. I'm coming to meet with the Master Jesus Christ, who has touched me so deeply and has brought me life and has brought a change to my life. And that means also every major decision I take, the way I order my life, the way I do things, are always influenced by my relationship with Jesus, my trust in Jesus. And so when people see me, can they see the mark of Christ in my life? Can I stand up and say, yes, I am a Christian? And when I left Islam, I was cut off from the home. And you know how difficult it is a young boy at the age of 18, 19, getting to 20. You are walking away from your family. You are walking away from your religion, Islam, very violent religion, very aggressive religion. And I walked away. And they said to me, we will see how you will make it. But Jesus went ahead of me. An Irish family adopted me. That's why I told them in the sacristy, you can call me the Black Paddy. An Irish family adopted me. They saw me through college. They saw me through the seminary. They never met me one day. They didn't know whom I was. They only knew that a young man had walked away from Islam and wanted to have a relationship with Jesus. And not just want to have a relationship with Jesus, wanted a deeper relationship with Jesus. And they were excited about it. I never met them until I was ordained a priest, 10 years or 11 years after. And when I was ordained a priest, I met them for the first time. I was very joyful. When I came, they said, Father, we have adopted you as one of us, but now we want to make it official. I said, that's good. And then they included me as part of their family. They included me into their own inheritance. And I was happy that I was there and I buried him as a priest. And that is what I've come to ask you for this day also. There are many of my type everywhere in the world. Young men who see wants to become priest. Young men who want to have a life with Jesus Christ. Young men who want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Young men whose hope has crashed. But I know with your generosity, you can lift up, you can raise their hope this morning. I'm going to talk to you about the Missionary Society of St. Paul. I'm a priest of the Missionary Society of St. Paul. And I'm here, Father said it at the beginning, and I'm here for the appeals. What you are going to put in the collection today will do me a lot of good. Father, I think so. Why am I here? The Irish family adopted me and took care of me and brought me up. And I decided I'm also going to give my life to go around the world and making sure that children and people can also have the good life through the generosity of Christians and Catholics like you. I have been doing this work for 18 years as a priest. But one of the things that has shocked me, I came to the United States for the first time in 2008. And I came, go back, but since 2014 I have been here. I have never met a group of generous Catholics that I have ever met in the U.S. Generous Catholics, generous Christians. Everywhere in the world, you preach the gospel. Not that you go there, but you send the gospel through missionaries to go there. I want you to send me to the people of the Sudan. In the Sudan, I'm going to have a few of these outside. You can take a look at them. You may decide to say, oh, I think I love what Father Sam said, the Black Paddy. We have, in one house, we have over 600 orphans that we take care of every day. To care for an orphan for a whole year costs us $1,000. That's to feed him for a whole year and to send him to school. Because if you don't send him to school, if you don't feed him, the rebels, the terrorists are coming to pick him, give him a gun. Because he knows that as long as he has the gun, the terrorists will give him food to eat. But we can change that story. I am standing here before you today because a family changed my story. You can change the story of somebody. We bring them together in communities because there's fighting. For those of you who watch the news always, you see children dying of hunger in the Sudan. And war and violence everywhere. So we try to bring them out of such places and give them water to drink. It costs us about $3,000 to dig a well and get, because it's a very desert country. So you have to go down to be able to get water. And when we get water, we can bring a community of about 1,000 people together to live in peace. And then they can also plant and also take care of themselves. I know that we can do that. And that is why I've come to beg you to help us to do that. That is why I'm standing here this morning, to beg you to do that. You can put a smile on the faces of those children. You can change their story forever. My story was changed. And I know that my story has been changed forever. Their stories also can be changed, and it will be changed forever. Jesus said to his people, a prophet is not accepted except in his own place. You know, I told them at the sacristy, that my own younger sister, my Irish younger sister, was coming to pick me at the airport in Dublin. And then she told a friend, I'm going to pick my older brother, he's coming in from the US. And then this other lady was excited because she didn't know who the elder brother was. And then when they got to the airport to pick me, they saw me and the lady was shocked. My sister ran to me and grabbed me, gave me a big Irish hug, and we were laughing and chatting and shouting and all. And the lady looked at me and looked at her. And then I said, oh, you are surprised that Cora's elder brother is a black man? He said, oh, no, I have no problem. I said, yeah. And I said to her, you too can change the life of somebody as Cora's father changed my life. Thank you, and God bless you.